Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, injured, but still here, still functional, Scott Catoon. I talk to healthcare, I talk to tech companies all the time, but, you know, it's about the community. Yeah. But it's also about me. I'm like a very selfish person in the end. It probably does seem like that. If you know me, it does. That's not a surprise to you. But I like to have companies on at moments. If you've ever noticed this sort of like signing up with all of our, or I guess measuring up with all of our other shows, I have companies on moments that I need them most. And if you haven't noticed our Instagram, you can follow me at Catoon or at Technori Follow Us. You'll see in the Instagram that I had to have a surgery on my hand. It was pretty major, actually. It was cut from the tip of my pinky all the way down past my wrist. It looks like a jigsaw puzzle to repair a tendon that, whatever, long story short, ruptured, and now it's fixed. Hopefully. Knock on wood, it's fixed. But one of the biggest concerns when you have surgery, and this has, and we'll learn from our guest today, Mert Isseri from SwipeSense. We'll learn a little bit about why I'm wrong here, but also what we can do to make it better. In my mind, the bigger the incision, the bigger the risk. The bigger the incision, the more open it is, the more risk for infection. When in all reality, you could just like not wash your hands and get an infection in your nostril and it's all the same, and MRSA and the rest will kill you just the same. But in my brain, I look down at this scar and I'm like, holy shit, I am sitting here in the biggest factory of bacteria that exists, which is a hospital, and there's a hole in my arm. So I have to find out before I die or get a staph infection or MRSA or something, because it's already too late if that's the case. I need to find out who to sue so that my family can get rich. But least important, or most importantly, for those of you out there, I want you to understand what the risks really are and that there are options to make it better and what all goes into it. Because to be quite honest, I really have no idea. I just sort of conjecture my way through life. So without any wasted or any more wasted time, I want to bring our guest on. Mert, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you feel better soon.
Me too. And actually, this is a funny story. This is a waste of everyone's time. So yesterday, I was in my office, and the guy who's down the aisle from where I'm working was like, oh, I've seen this hand injury. I had both of these before. And I was like, holy shit, really? And he's like, yeah, you know, so I know your pain. He's like, after the surgery, it was like 2 hours, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, I started crying, and the pain was so severe, and I was popping Norcos, and I'm like, damn, like I just, my injury is worse than yours. Mine was cut all the way through.
Wow.
I took a couple Norcos. The pain wasn't that bad. So either I'm a complete badass or I've drank so much over time that I can no longer feel my bones and my hands. But anyway,
maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think it's probably column A, column B. Regardless, I am here with you and I am hoping that this injury, which they cleaned today and rewrapped, does not have an infection. I keep talking about this infection because your company does a lot in the space of healthcare, but also preventative and sort of learning about infections and how to prevent it and blah, blah, blah. So without any wasted time more, what exactly is SwipeSense?
SwipeSense is a sort of a quality control system for hospitals. We measure all sorts of performance metrics, like are my doctors washing their hands? Are my nurses visiting the patient on time? We have sensors that go on healthcare workers, sensors that go inside the rooms. Think of it as an indoor GPS for the hospital. We measure all sorts of things. But the practical outcomes of this is a better run hospital, a more profitable
hospital. Is it
going to
make sure that those people don't just like run their hands under the water? I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty of that. Like, I'm a person who, like, if there's someone next to me, I'll totally activate the water and just like make the sound so that I can just leave because I don't want to have dry hands.
You know, hospitals are actually really good at this. The problem isn't that people don't know how to do this. Yeah. People assume that they've already done this because they see hundreds of patients a day. So trust me, they will not just do what you suggested.
I'm not suggesting it. I'm saying I do it. But to get serious for a second, that actually brings in another conversation because like one thing you see at the hospitals all the time is hand sanitizer. Everyone is using hand sanitizer, and I've read that actually contributes to even more of a problem with disease and with infections.
This actually is a common misconception. So
okay.
Let me break
See?
Down a
this
couple
is what I'm
of
talking
norms
about. This
here.
Is why Mert's here, man. He's going to keep me straight.
About 10 years ago, people had this scare of like, does antibacterial gel cause more sickness in hospitals?
Yep.
What hospitals have today is not that product. Hospitals have today is alcohol-based hand sanitizer, which destroys the cell walls of everything that's on your hand. So it's almost like a nuke in your hands to kill everything, which is great, by the way. This is exactly what you
nuking
want.
Nuking your hands is definitely great.
It's awesome.
Depends on what part of the world you're from, but yeah, nuking your hands can be good.
Previously, about 10 years ago, there were soaps and such that had triclosan in them, and it was true. There were bacteria that developed resistance to this particular substance that basically gave a false impression that healthcare workers were safe from touching you. This is no longer the case, thankfully, but still, the average hand hygiene compliance in the U.S. today is about 40%. So people wash their hands less than half the time.
There's certainly room for improvement. That's the other thing is I think, and is there a difference? And this is something I have, again, I'm the filthiest MF that there is. I swear to God. I would always be like, I'm not going to wash my hands here. I'll give you an example. In 1871, first off, you're glad handing all day long, right? So you're shaking hands all day long.
Yep.
It's filthy. Like, it's disgusting. And I'm not a germaphobe, but I'm like a little bit of a germaphobe. So like in my mind, I also have dry skin. So I'm like, I don't want to wash my hands 15 times a day. I would literally have to wash my hands all day long because you meet people all day. I would walk in 1871, go to the bathroom, and I knew that outside of the bathroom door, on the other side of the filthy handle that is on the inside of the bathroom door, is a hand sanitizer machine. So rather than wash my hands and get them all wet and dry, I could zip out and just do a hand sanitizer. Is that better? The same? No difference on hands being washed, like comparatively?
For you, it's no different. If you were working in an ICU, I would tell you something else. But yeah, for you as a normal person, just use whatever you want. This problem really is a much bigger deal inside the hospital, yeah, where you do have an open.
So let's talk about that. It's like, what is the identifiable problem that you guys are out to solve, and how are you guys solving it?
Hospitals make preventable, predictable errors.
Yep.
So these are things like, I can't find that blood pump. I mean, this is an error. Somebody, yep, goes out and looks for it. It's a minor error because eventually you will find it. But another kind of error is our patient just got C. diff and, yeah, they died after 2 days. Actually, every year, 100,000 patients in the U.S. die because of these infections.
Yeah.
So these preventable errors, the catchphrase for it is, there were complications in your so-and-so. Nobody, yeah, wants to hear that word. Yeah.
But complications is not a good word for anything.
No, it is not, especially in healthcare.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I would say so.
These are unfortunately a reality of healthcare, but fortunately, they're preventable. You prevent them by measuring it, changing your practices, and ultimately rallying people around to do a better job to ultimately get ahead of these infections. Some hospitals do a fantastic job at this. We're really proud to be working with them. But that's the problem, is to eliminate the word complications from healthcare.
Okay, so how exactly are you guys, like, what are several ways? You mentioned sensors to determine whether or not people, sure, are washing. I'm a huge, so like we just talked to Vic Pascucci, who's the head of Lightbank. Lots of investments in healthcare and healthcare tech, fintech, insurtech. Insurtech is a huge play on this because at the end of the day, like I don't want to say, I never say never, but we have gotten to a point technologically where for the vast majority of savings and opportunities financially for hospitals and things, I think we know what it could be. It's whether do you want to invest in the technology for AR in practice and become more efficient? Do you want to invest in technology software to be able to make you more efficient from a back end perspective? There is training. There's building facilities that are more more meant for this. Not turning in Sears just closed every building that they own, and a good portion of them are going to be converted into medical outpatient care centers. That's what I hear. So, determining whether or not you build it more efficiently, that's ways to save money that we already know. I don't think that there's a whole lot other than like the next world, like 100 years from now, technology that just like has machines doing the surgery. I don't think we can make that many more improvements there. But where we can make a ton of improvements is on the data collection and then responding to it in kind. And that's what attracted me to your company, because I see there's a huge opportunity. There's a lot of companies out there right now that are trying to make a name and make some money in this space. But I think ultimately, if they don't come up with a better way to get more data, more information to tell the story better about how we're spending money, and that money may be on trying to correct the staff infection, trying to care for someone who had complications. I think that's the Wild West right now is how do we get the data? So what are ways that you guys are farming this data? Where are you getting these data points from? And more importantly, from the standpoint of me and those out there listening that are just humans, what is the response like?
Totally.
From the doctors and the people there, because I feel like there's a little bit of a hesitation to lift the veil because they don't want you to see all the bugs.
No doubt about it.
Pun intended.
First and foremost, the dirty little secret, another pun intended,
yes,
is hospitals today do this already. They, yep, just use really, really unscalable, primitive methods. Yep. They basically get a nurse in the corner of a hallway and they give him a pen and paper and say, check your peers.
They write it on
peers.
Your board. Yeah, you see it if you've been in a room overnight, they write it on
there.
Your little board. Yeah.
Which is childish at best.
It's better than nothing. Better than Loretto Hospital. My guess at Loretto, you don't get shit. That's my guess.
I'm glad it's happening, but you can imagine no one's doing that at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
No one's doing it every single time. Hundreds of people come in and out of your room
you're missing
during the day.
A lot, yeah.
So we do this by adding our sensors to basically remove this data collection problem from the equation. Machines should be measuring this. But to me, a much more interesting question is, once you do have the data, so what?
Yep.
What do you do with it? And over the many years I've been running SwipeSense, I've seen hospitals fall into one of two categories. Hospitals who treat these infections or their medical errors as airplane accidents, and hospitals who treat these errors as car accidents. Let me tell you what I mean by this. If there's an emergency landing in Fargo, North Dakota, it's on the news in Chicago today.
Yep.
Because it's just one of those things that we've come to accept. This should never happen.
Yep.
You get annoyed as a consumer if your plane is delayed by 20 minutes. It's going across the continent. Like, yeah, it's okay if it's delayed by 20 minutes, yep, but it's that much annoying to you. Look, there's probably 20 car accidents today that we haven't even talked about. In Chicago,
yeah,
down the street, it happens. We have come to accept car accidents as an inconvenient byproduct of having this thing as highways. So hospitals are the same. Sometimes they view these infections as never events. They're like airplane accidents. They should never happen. We're going to do everything in our power to correct them. Or they're car accidents. Look, it's unfortunate. It's really sad. Thoughts and prayers. We're going to do better next time. But it's not really an immediate call to action.
Yeah.
And it really depends on how your hospital is viewing these errors. And you as a consumer, the single biggest decision you can make is determining whether your hospital is an airplane hospital or a car accident hospital.
And vote.
And you should vote too.
You need to vote. There's an orange guy that's running around.
Go
He's
register.
Running amok out there. And you have an opportunity in November, believe me, to vote for it. But after you're done voting, you should immediately turn your attention to hospitals, because trust me, you or somebody you love is going to end up in one very soon.
Unfortunately, so, yes.
Yeah. And the hope is that they leave fixed and not with a death sentence that they didn't know about.
Look, healthcare is a reality of life. We all, at some point in our lives, are going to go to a hospital. A loved one is going to go to a hospital. So instead of just hoping that this will never happen to you, we have to be proactive about it. And yeah, I find this to be much, much more interesting, because as a consumer, we have a choice. If you choose to go to the hospital that actually cares about these things, yeah, more hospitals will care about it.
No, I totally agree. And the funny thing is that you're 100%. We just talked about this with a couple of people, not about my hand, actually, ironically, just some other reason, about hospitals that are amazing, the Mayo Clinics of the world, that have big problems too. Like, my experience with family members and so at Mayo has not been great. And the doctors may be amazing, but there are things that happen. When you get big, Northwestern Medicine now is every hospital. It's hard to manage it. It's basically a gigantic corporation at this point. And there are problems that essentially, if you don't report and you just assume like, oh yeah, you know, it's Mayo Clinic, it's all good. No, it's not all good. Your loved one may or may not have died of complications that were a result of you not paying attention. Like, you're just as guilty as the nurse in some cases. Like, you're bringing in family members who are picking their nose or whatever the hell, and like, they're around the, like, there's so many things going on and you're responsible for it. So I appreciate the attention that you guys are putting on this. Tell me a little bit more about the actual business and like the model behind it and how you guys make money and how you're paying for, you know, the mayor, I love this shirt. You're paying for this, all this stuff you guys are doing.
We have a software as a service model. We charge hospitals a per bed license fee.
Yep.
And it includes all of our sensors, all of our dashboards, all of our trainings and insights. What I have found over the years is it actually is less to do with technology and more to do with how we utilize this data to actually achieve behavior.
Of course, yeah.
When I was a younger CEO, I always thought of like, let's just build a dashboard and things will happen on its own. And the reality is this isn't the case, because you're dealing with people.
Yeah.
You have to get them to care about this. And that's ultimately how change happens.
I mean this very nicely. People suck. Like, they just do. Like, everything that I have in my life that I have to depend on other people usually gets fucked up. Like, that's just...
They have competing priorities is how I put it.
I like that. It's very political. I say they have agendas. Agenda sounds bad. Say that again?
Competing priorities.
Competing priorities. That's another thing we should probably talk about. Competing priorities. Okay, so you guys are on the SaaS play model. You are a Northwestern guy. You started this while you were at Northwestern. What was the big hook where you're like, I need to get into this?
My co-founder and I started a group called Design for America.
Okay.
Started at Northwestern. Now it's in 38 campuses. It actually just won a National Design Award.
Congrats.
By the Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum.
Awesome.
I'm going to New York for the award ceremony. I had very little to do with it. I just happened to be there when the organization was getting started. But the project we worked on was hand hygiene in hospitals. And when we graduated, my co-founders, Yuri, Jory, and yeah, I, we basically said, look, an idea that's on a post-it note is worthless. It's a good thing to talk about in a cocktail party,
yeah,
but it doesn't change anyone's life. You actually have to bring it to life.
Yeah.
And I sort of when the idea was in its infancy, I sort of felt the shame of like, look, we shouldn't even talk about this. This is just a prototype. We finally decided to get into it. Now I realize how little we knew, because if I knew what we knew now, I certainly would have a different point of view on what we would do early on, and especially in a healthcare technology business. Yeah. Every business is hard. This healthcare isn't startup friendly, especially. But after almost seven years, we're at a fantastic place and we're growing like crazy. I'm very, very happy with it.
We are both the heads of companies that were essentially started out of Northwestern University.
Congratulations to both of us.
Yes, congrats.
Go Wildcats.
Go Cats. they pulled out a sweet win on Sunday, Saturday, so I'm happy. Unfortunately, the Bears did not. Well, with that said, I appreciate you coming in and taking the time. Should I feel more confident in my hand? I was at Rush. Do they wear sensors? Do they have your sensors at Rush?
Unfortunately, they don't.
Why not?
But Rush is a great hospital.
Rush is a great hospital. I trust Rush.
Why not is an interesting question. I've often talked about this. Hospitals have competing priorities. The reality is hospitals do have millions of things that they can do to improve patient outcomes. And hand hygiene doesn't fall into that sexy box. Yeah. We've expanded it, over the course of the past 12, 24 months. Our technology does a lot more for the hospital. So we're technology
as
a platform
now. So you can start expanding
now.
And having more different sensors, more data points and so forth.
You just have more stakeholders, and ultimately that's what's going to get us to win.
Very cool. I appreciate it. I love it. I think it's a great idea. I love the idea that you're focused from day one on we want to collect the data, but really it's how do we use the data? The big data thing was, a couple of years ago, all you heard was big data. Now it's the application. Everyone's got all this information. Most people don't know how to use it. The ones who use it the smartest are the ones who are going to win. And hopefully you fall into that category. Mert, where do people go to learn more about SwipeSense and all the good stuff?
SwipeSense.com. They can also email me personally anytime they want. My email is mert@swipesense.com. Go right ahead.
You're a ballsy dude.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine just put my email. You know what? My email is everywhere anyway. You're going to get seven newsletters or something that's going to get immediately signed up for your name.
I appreciate sales just as much as the next guy, so send them my way, boys.
Awesome. Very cool. Mert, thank you so much for taking the time to come in. You can catch this episode and more at technora.com. Please download, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. You can get it anywhere, Google Play, Apple, Stitcher, wherever the hell you listen to stuff. But I'm a Spotify guy, so go for it. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere that you play and scroll away. You can follow us at Technori, or you can put all your complaints to me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.